The headlines this hour. Calls grow for boycotting Swedish products as anger boils in the Muslim world over the desecration of the Holy Quran in Sweden. The French president cancels a trip to Germany as security forces arrest nearly 1,000 more people protesting the fatal shooting of a teenager by police. Also in the headlines, the Albanian prime minister warns that the MEK terrorist group must leave his country unless it stops its anti-Iran operations. This is News. Thanks for joining us. Anger is boiling among Muslims worldwide over the desecration of the Holy Quran in the Swedish capital. Thousands of Iraqis gathered outside of the Swedish embassy in Baghdad on Friday, condemning the insult to the Islamic sanctities. They wanted the Iraqi government to sever diplomatic ties with Stockholm. Similar protests were held in Iran and other countries. The blasphemy took place under police authorization on Wednesday outside of a mosque, where a man tore and burnt the Quran. The sacrilege has also raised calls to boycott Swedish products. Al-Azhar University in Egypt has urged the boycott. The General Secretariat of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation will hold a meeting next week to discuss measures against the desecration.
Denouncing the act of blasphemy in the strongest terms, a group of protesters, including university students, gathered outside the Swedish embassy to protest the desecration of the Holy Quran by chanting slogans and carrying placards condemning the blasphemous move.
I've come here to say that the Holy Quran is very dear to us, and Sweden should not allow this amount of disrespect to our beliefs. This book should be respected because the names of other religious books like the Bible and the Torah are mentioned in it. Anyone who disrespects this book is also disrespecting Christians and Jews.
This level of blasphemy is totally unacceptable. We have come here to defend our beliefs, the Holy Quran and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. My husband and my son have also joined me to send this message to the world. In Sweden, they have disrespected our holy book. No act of sacrilege can ever be considered acceptable.
The angry protesters also set the Swedish flag on fire. Meanwhile, the Iranian Foreign Ministry has summoned Sweden's chargé d'affaires in Tehran and has also called for an emergency meeting of the foreign ministers of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation.
The huge crowds that have gathered in front of the Swedish embassy in Tehran are also demanding the embassy to be closed down. Gisumish Ahmad, Tehran.
Fuad Azadi, professor at the University of Tehran, joined us with his take on the recent desecration of the Holy Quran in Sweden.
So my first point was that desecrating other people's religion is not a sign of freedom of speech in a country. When you criticize the things that are dear to you or desecrate the things, you allow desecration of things that are dear to you, then you can claim freedom of speech. But when you desecrate things that are dear to other people, then you cannot claim freedom of speech. That's a hate speech. And in Sweden and in other Western countries, there are many, many laws against hate speech. And there is this hypocrisy that when it comes to Muslims or Islamic beliefs, then all the rules and regulations and laws that deal with hate speech is put aside, and the flag of freedom of speech is raised unjustly and without any attention to the fact that Muslims realize what's going on. And why is Islam is targeted? It goes back to the racism that you have had in these countries against Muslims for many centuries. You have the Israeli lobby that's, as I said, quite influential in these countries. And the fact that the government of Sweden is in no position to enter into this type of activities against Islam and Muslims. And I think they will pay a price for that.
Well, the desecration of the Holy Quran in Sweden has also caused an outcry in Afghanistan. People in the capital, Kabul, condemned the insult, calling for Muslims' unity to prevent such acts from happening again.
All Muslims are offended by this move. Such acts must not happen again. We don't insult their holy books, and they shouldn't as well. Such blasphemous acts have taken place over and over. All Muslim nations must get united and take action.
I got so sad when I heard that this blasphemy took place on our holiest eve. The government of Sweden shouldn't have allowed that person to insult Muslim sanctities, but this is happening over and over. It seems the Swedish government is intentionally allowing the desecration. Muslim nations must stay vigilant and put pressure on Sweden through proper channels.
Enemies of Islam around the world are trying hard to weaken Islam. We call on all Muslims to be united and defend Islamic values together so that we won't witness such actions anymore. The key to that is only unity.
France is reeling from nationwide protests over the recent police killing of a teenager. Several cities have witnessed violence on the fourth consecutive night of unrest. Police arrested over 1,300 more protesters on Friday night, particularly in Marseille and Lyon. Children as young as 13 are among the detainees. Violent protests continued despite the deployment of around 45,000 officers to crack down on protesters. The French president has postponed a state visit to Germany and announced plans to tighten a grip on social media. Emmanuel Macron urged social media firms to disclose the identities of those who use their platforms to, quote, call for disorder and promote violence. The protests erupted after a police officer fatally shot a 17-year-old boy of Algerian-Moroccan descent during a traffic stop near Paris on Tuesday. His killing has stoked calls to fight against discrimination against people of color, as well as racial profiling in France. Earlier in our news review program, we discussed the violent protests in France over the police killing of a teenager. Here's what our guests had to say on the matter.
Joining us for more on that is Isha Krishnaswamy, a journalist and podcaster from Donetsk, Eastern Ukraine. We also have John Stepling, author and commentator from Inderøy, Norway. Let me start with John. John, ethnic French minority groups have for a long time been complaining about the racist police attitude towards their communities. I mean, what do you make of all this? Does a traffic stop warrant a death sentence?
Well, yeah, this is not new. And you could go back to 2005 when Sarkozy was embroiled in a controversy because he used insulting language to describe the Arab youth in the Banlieues, the dispossessed, and he referred to them as scum. Those were very mild protests in those days. And it has increased since then. And there are a number of items. There were protests in March and April about pension reform, raising the retirement age from 62 to 64, I think it was. But that wasn't really the issue. The issue is broader and a general deterioration of the quality of life for the French. Now, the specific protests now have been building for a long time. The treatment of African immigrants in France has been horrible and sort of a stain on French society. In 2022, I remember the French military was traveling on its way to Mali through Burkina Faso. They were confronted by African military and by mobs and so forth. The anti-French sentiment in Africa is acute and justifiably so. You could go back even further if you wanted. This is Macron's tone deaf doesn't begin to describe it. He has simply doubled down on a violent, repressive reaction to all the protests. Even when they're absolutely nonviolent, he has employed brutal repression against protesters. And there's no indication that Macron has any answers whatsoever. There's mass unemployment. That retirement age protest was really not about the retirement age as much as it was about France has the highest level of unemployment for people over the age of 55 in Europe. There are no jobs. prices continue to rise. People are resentful of the money going to this proxy war in Ukraine.
Now, Esha, you are literally in a war zone, and the footage reaching us from France also looks like a war zone. How do you view the treatment of the French police towards minority groups?
It's obviously they are waging a war, and this is because in 2018 they changed the law where it made it legal for the police to shoot people who do not command, who do not obey commands twice in a row. And of course, so this is, a lot of it is institutional. And again, there is a lot of racism because we all know how Macron a few years ago said the problem with Africa is civilizational. So that has made it worse. But then I think that the way he has deployed the troops as opposed to trying to negotiate with the people who are protesting shows that he is not really interested in bettering anything, but he wants to try to crack it down. And this morning I was looking at a TikTok from a taxi driver in Paris, and he literally said it looks like a civil war and he wouldn't drive into Paris, but he was willing to drive outside of suburbs.
Let me thank our guests for their contribution. Esha Krishnaswamy is a journalist and podcaster joining us from Donetsk in eastern Ukraine. Also, John Stepling, thank you very much, author and commentator from Inderøy, Norway. That brings an end to another edition of the News Review.
The Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán asks who is responsible for pushing the EU to the brink of bankruptcy. Orbán claims 30 billion euros from the EU budget sent to Kiev cannot be accounted for. The war in Ukraine has dominated a summit of EU leaders in Brussels. Jerome Hughes reports from the Belgian capital.
EU leaders concluded a two-day summit in Brussels on Friday. Most of the discussions surrounded ways to try and apply further pressure on Russia while at the same time providing more support to Ukraine.
We've seen over the weekend the mutiny of the Wagner Group and the obvious cracks that have appeared in Putin's system. So now it's the time to really double down on our support for Ukraine.
According to analysts we have been speaking to, Vladimir Putin has not been damaged by the brief standoff with the Wagner Group. It's also suggested Putin has no regrets about his special military operation because the Federation was being provoked by the US-led NATO military alliance for many years.
Actually for three decades, because Americans cheated Gorbachev. They promised him that there will be no enlargement, and we have seen NATO enlargements in waves. And it came as far as Ukraine, and Russia couldn't take it anymore.
30 billion euro in financial support for Ukraine has already come out of the EU budget, and there's a proposal to send a further 50 billion euro to Kiev. Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban says the 27-nation bloc has been pushed to the brink of bankruptcy. He looks set to prevent the 50 billion euro payment because, in a Facebook post, he claims the money already contributed cannot be accounted for. Despite a crippling cost of living crisis, mainly brought on by their energy sanctions against Russia, EU leaders have agreed to ramp up the production of lethal weapons for Ukraine. Rising eurozone interest rates linked to the war are hurting homeowners and businesses. 4.5 million young adults are unemployed in the EU. Unions say those who have jobs are often poorly paid and in precarious employment. Campaigners are calling on EU leaders to hold a special summit to address the cost of living crisis. It's suggested that their own citizens are being neglected, as almost all the focus remains on Russia and Ukraine. Jerome Hughes at the European Council, Brussels.
The Albanian Prime Minister warns that the MEK terrorist group must leave his country unless it stops its anti-Iran operations. In an interview with the German media, Prime Minister Edi Rama said that the group cannot use Albania to fight against the Iranian government. He said that Tirana has no intention of being at war with Tehran, and it does not accept anyone who has abused its hospitality. Last month, Albanian security forces searched the MEK camp several times. The first operation was on June 20, when they entered the camp upon an order issued by Albania's anti-terrorism court in a probe into the group's illegal activities. MEK members violently clashed with the police and blocked their way. The MEK is a notorious terrorist organization that has conducted numerous assassinations and bombings against Iranian officials and civilians since the 1979 Islamic Revolution. The UK, Canada, and Australia have condemned the Israeli regime's continued expansion of settlements in the occupied Palestinian territories. In a joint statement, the three countries called on Tel Aviv to reverse the recently approved decision to construct more settler units on occupied land. They said that they are gravely concerned over the decision to move forward with plans for some 5,700 new units for Israeli settlers. The plan is part of more than 13,000 settler units the regime has approved so far this year. The UN has also recently warned that Israel's expansion of settlements is a significant driver of tensions and violence in the region. The settlements are illegal under international law, and the UN Security Council has criticized them in several resolutions, but no sanctions have ever been imposed on Israel. U.S. police have arrested a man armed with explosives and weapons in the Washington neighborhood where former President Barack Obama lives. Taylor Taranto was spotted by law enforcement a few blocks from Obama's home. He tried to flee but was chased and caught by Secret Service agents. It was not clear whether Obama and his family were at home at the time of Taranto's arrest. Two law enforcement officials have been quoted as saying that the detainee, a U.S. Navy veteran, had made social media threats against a public figure. It was not immediately known who the public figure was. He's also wanted for crimes related to the 2021 insurrection at U.S. Capitol. A mob supporting then-President Donald Trump attacked the Capitol building in an attempt to overturn his defeat in the election. And that is for World News. Bye-bye for now.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Limelight.
BRICS is not just an agent of change. It is a key pillar of a more equitable and sustainable future. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to Tasnim News Agency, the expansion of BRICS, including Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, which many countries are willing to join, brings the end of the dollar's dominance as the world's main currency and, consequently, the era of U.S. hegemony. Since the establishment of the Bretton Woods system, the U.S. has committed worldwide plunder in the way of gaining benefits from mintage based on the predominant position of dollar and has used dollar as a means for realizing its political purpose, the Korean Central News Agency said in an article. Jung Il-hyun, a North Korean international affairs analyst, pointed out, "It is well known that the international monetary system based on dollar has become the two pillars backing the U.S. domination over the world along with military means." In his opinion, for nearly a century, the U.S. has resorted to every means and method to maintain the supremacy of dollar as the key currency, in particular, committing such despicable acts as imposing sanctions on countries that the U.S. doesn't like. The North Korean journalist points out that a typical example of such a policy was the economic sanctions against Russia in connection with the situation in Ukraine. But this policy of U.S.-made acts called sanctions and pressure is cutting down the U.S. foot. Russia has considerably reduced the dependence on dollar by introducing national currency instead of dollar in trade with other countries, including China and India, and the BRICS member states have put spurs to the development of new international currency that will replace U.S. dollar in mutual trade, Jung Il-hyun pointed out, adding, "The reality goes to prove that it is the high-handed and arbitrary practices of the U.S. trying to maintain its world supremacy that's accelerated the world moves for boycotting dollar, spurred the establishment of a new monetary system, and encouraged many countries to accede to BRICS." TASS News Agency reported, "The unprecedented international moves to limit the use of dollar and the tendency of many countries to join BRICS are accelerating the end of dollar as a key currency and the end of the U.S. hegemonism pursuant to it." Modern diplomacy also noted, in the past several years, the BRICS have greatly increased their prominence in the global economy as a rising number of developing countries are applying for membership in the bloc. Over and above the discussions on BRICS expansion, there is also the possibility of BRICS transforming the global financial system with creation of a BRICS common currency. This enthusiasm and spotlight are in stark contrast to earlier pronouncements of the lack of luster in the grouping coming from observers both in the developed and developing world. So what is the reason for such a drastic turnaround in perception in a matter of just several years? Could it be that BRICS have finally opened up the possibility set for the world economy that has gone from one crisis to another without a credible vision of alternatives? In fact, it may be precisely the emergence of such alternatives in the past several years that engendered the greatest interest with respect to the BRICS bloc. Most notably, the possibility of creating a new common BRICS currency. And while all the discussions about a speedy displacement of the U.S. dollar from its global throne by the BRICS currency are realistic, the very possibility of an alternative instrument that could be used internationally presents an important signal to the global community that alternatives are possible.
Ocean of Dua.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach towards supplication, and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran, and we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we were discussing the different constituents of supplication. The first constituent was the kind of spiritual attraction present between the Lord, the Creator, and the servant. The second is the supplicant himself, and the third one is the Almighty Allah, which is the invoked one, Al-Mad'uf. Now, we said that there are different conditions to be met if the supplicant is to be counted from among the genuine supplicants. We said that he must be sincere, he must believe in God's power and closeness, and he must observe some etiquettes. He must observe those good manners in supplication. And we were having a look at some of the manners of supplication in the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt and in their lifestyles. Now, let us have a look at the manners of supplication in Imam Sadiq alayhi salam's statements. Now, what we are saying here are taken from an article present at www.al-islam.org named at Dua or Supplication. Now, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, concerning the manners of supplication, احفظ آداب الدعاء وَنْظُرْ مَنْ تَدْعُوا وَكَيْفَ تَدْعُوا وَلِمَذَا تَدْعُوا. Keep to the morals of supplication and see when you invoke, how you invoke, and why you invoke. وَحَقِّقْ عَظَمَةَ اللَّهِ وَكِبْرِيَاءَهِ. Preserve the greatness and highness of the Almighty Allah. وَعَايِنْ بِقَلْبِكَ عِلْمَهُ بِمَا فِي ضَمِيرِكَ. And see with your heart that he knows what there is in your conscience, and he knows your secrets, whether good or bad. وَاطِّلَاؤُهُ عَلَىٰ سِرِّكَ وَمَا يَكُونُ فِيهِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. And then Imam alayhi salam continues, know the ways of your deliverance and perdition, lest you ask Allah for something which leads to your perdition, whereas you think that it leads to your deliverance. Imam alayhi salam says, وَعَرِفْ طُرْقَ نَجَاتِكَ وَهَلَاكِكَ كَيْ لَا تَدْعُوَ اللَّهَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ هَلَاكُكَ وَأَنْتَ تَظُنُّ فِيهِ نَجَاتُكَ. This means that Almighty Allah knows the best of all. So that's why we have been recommended in other traditions to ask the Almighty Allah to give us and grant us what He sees best for us. So Imam alayhi salam says, you should think about what you are asking the Almighty Allah. So Allah has said, and man prays for evil as he ought to pray for good. وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاهُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. And man is ever hasty.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo kashti up on Jorabat. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad abaz bala va pas. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy will, God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good, about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too, it's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
So as we were saying, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, concerning the manners of supplication, continues, think too much about what you ask for, how much you ask for, and why you ask. Supplication is you submitting to the truth, being devoted to see the Lord, leaving your choice and entrusting all the affairs, whether apparent or hidden, with the Almighty Allah. If you do not regard the conditions of supplication, then do not wait for the response. فَإِن لَمْ تَأْتِ بِشَرْطِ الدُّعَاءِ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْإِجَابَةِ. Allah knows the secret and what is yet more hidden, so that you may ask Him for something, but He knows that there is something else in your heart. فَلَعَلَّكَ تَدْعُوهُ بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ عَلِمَ مِنْ سِرِّكَ خِلَافَ ذَلِكَ. Because Almighty Allah knows what is hidden inside you. So sometimes you pray to the Almighty Allah and you stop practicing yourself. This means you do not really want what you are requesting. This means your supplication is not a true kind of supplication, and it is kind of mere spiritless words just put it all together, presented to the Almighty Allah. Imam alayhi salam says, when you want to invoke God, you want Him to respond to you. You have to regard the conditions of supplication, and you have to keep in mind to whom you talk, whom you invoke for a favor, and what you invoke for. So here are those conditions that Imam alayhi salam mentions. You should regard the grandeur of God. You should be aware that God has the infinite power. You should have in mind that God knows how to respond to one's needs. A supplicant also should be aware that God knows what there is in one's mind and knows his secrets, whether good or bad. A supplicant should distinguish between the right and the wrong, so that he may not ask for something destructive. Allah has said, وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. And man prays for evil as he ought to pray for good. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. A supplicant should do what he is supposed to do and should avoid what is forbidden. And at the end, the supplicant should sacrifice everything to gain Allah's favors. He should love Him sincerely. He should submit to God in managing his affairs. And he should throw away his wishes. But he must be obedient to God. He must follow God's commandments. This is all Imam Sadiq alayhi salam presents regarding the manners of supplication in this tradition. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye. Allah.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. In the limelight.
And Britain consumers are claiming that manufacturers were reducing the size of their products, such as chocolate bars and packets of crisps, while prices stayed the same or even increased. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. Hard-pressed consumers feel they are becoming the victims of food industry shrinkflation amid signs the United Kingdom's persistent cost-of-living crisis is making households more alert to the need to get value for money. With food prices up by almost 20% in the past year, the latest snapshot of consumer activity in Britain from Barclays found that households were concentrating spending on essentials and increasingly concerned that manufacturers were reducing the size of their products, such as chocolate bars and packets of crisps. Two-thirds of British shoppers had noticed products shrinking in size, while the price had remained the same or even increased. In response, 20% of consumers said they were switching from products that had been downsized by manufacturers to instead buying in bulk. A separate survey from the British Retail Consortium, BRC, also found spending being squeezed by falling living standards, with no evidence that May's three bank holidays had provided a boost. Esme Hardwood, a director at Barclays, said consumers are still paying close attention to their everyday spending, and we're seeing growing concerns around shrinkflation in the weekly shop. Many are having to forgo discretionary purchases to offset rising food prices, with clothing and restaurants most impacted. Barclays said consumer card spending grew by 3.6% year-on-year in May, less than half the latest inflation rate of 8.7% and lower than the 4.3% in April. Spending on non-essential items rose just 3% due to consumers cutting back on to manage household bills, while spending on groceries rose by 8.9%, the highest rate of increase on groceries in more than 2 years. The British Retail Consortium, the BRC, reported a similar pattern. The retailers' lobby group said the value of sales was 3.9% higher in May than in the same month last year, but said once adjusted for inflation, there had been a hefty drop in sales volumes. Helen Dickinson, the British Retail Consortium's chief executive, said the trio of bank holidays failed to get shoppers spending as sales growth slowed to its lowest level in 6 months. While food sales got a boost from the coronation weekend, this was not sustained for the rest of the month. Meanwhile, growth in discretionary spending continued to tumble as the high cost of living squeezed households. There was cause for some optimism, however, as brighter weather at the end of the month led to a much-needed pickup in summer fashion sales, as well as gardening and DIY products. The latest monthly health check of Britain's service sector said rising wages were pushing up business costs and promoting firms to raise prices. The Standard & Poor's Chartered Institute of Procurement and Supply Purchasing Managers survey found upward pressure on pay had not prevented strong growth for the sector last month, with the business activity index above 50 for a fourth month in a row. Readings above 50 indicate an expanding sector. Tim Moore, the Economic Indices Director at Standard & Poor's Global Market Intelligence, which compiled the survey, said intense wage pressures continued across the service economy despite a moderation in employment growth. Higher salary payments more than offset lower fuel costs, which meant that overall input price inflation edged up to its strongest for 3 months in May. Average prices charged by service sector companies nonetheless increased at the second weakest pace since August of 2021, amid some reports of greater price resisting among clients. Fresh data from the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders showed new car registrations rose by 16.7% in May to 145,204, while registrations remained 21% below their level in May of 2019, the last year before the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. Last month's increase marked the 10th increase in a row, the longest period of uninterrupted growth since 2015. Mike Hawes, a Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders chief executive, said after the difficult COVID-constrained supply issues of the last few years, it's good to see the new car market maintain its upward trend, and the fact that growth is increasingly green growth is hugely encouraging. Reuters news agency has also covered the same story. British retail sales growth slowed to a 7-month low in May as soaring food prices prompted shoppers to rein in spending on non-essential items, and dash hopes of a boost from three public holidays, the British Retail Consortium, BRC, said on Tuesday. The British Retail Consortium said spending in its member stores increased 3.9% in annual terms last month, well above the 1.1% fall a year ago. However, sales were below the 5.2% rise in April. May's retail sales growth was the slowest since the 1.6% recorded in October of 2022, when consumers cut back on purchases as inflation soared to a 41-year high of 11.1%. The British Retail Consortium data is not adjusted for inflation, so May's sales growth reflects a fall in the value of goods purchased. Food was almost the only area where consumers spent more last month due to higher prices, as well as celebrations to mark the coronation of King Charles. The wild card for the retail sector remains uncontrollable food inflation, which shows little sign of coming down in the near future, and this is having a significant knock-on effect on the non-essential spending, said Paul Martin, UK head of retail at accountants KPMG, who sponsor the data. Official figures showed consumer price inflation fell less than expected in April, while food price inflation remained near a 46-year high at 19.1%, raising markets' bets that interest rates will peak at 5.5% later on this year. The Bank of England, which is expected to increase bank rate to 4.75% from 4.5% in June of 2022, has said it will keep raising interest rates if inflation looks persistent. The British Retail Consortium said retail sales in May were 3.7% higher on the year on a like-for-like basis, a measure favoured by equity analysts, which adjusts for changes in retail space, and down from 5.2% growth in April. Separate figures from Barclays on Tuesday, 6th of May, also showed high inflation and rising food prices continued to eat away at consumers' spending power. Barclays said consumer spending on payment cards rose by 3.6% year-on-year in May, of which spending on groceries increased 8.9%, the highest growth in the category since February of 2021, when it stood at 27%.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we are going to be examining a question which a lot of people ask and which is a very interesting question. This question is about that which increases the intellect. How can we increase our intellect? As we know, the aql or the intellect is a very important concept within Islam. And, you know, it is مَا أُبِدَ بِهِ الرَّحْمَانِ وَمَا اكْتُسَبَ بِهِ الْجِنَانِ. It is that by means of which the beneficent God is worshipped, and that by means of which heaven is acquired. But at the same time, people want to know, you know, how can we increase the intellect? What is it? What can we do by means of which our intellects can be perfected and they can be strengthened? Fortunately, we have an answer to this question in the form of hadith, which we will not relate for you, and you can see how we have been asked to increase our intellect. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, the intellect is an intrinsic thing that increases with knowledge and experiences. تَزِيدُ بِالْعِلْمِ وَالْتَجَارِبِ. Right, so experiences, they help in the increase of the intellect. In another hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said the following. He said, frequent study of matters of knowledge opens the intellect. So studying and you know, investigating into matters of wisdom and knowledge, this helps us increase, it helps the increase of our intellect. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, frequent study of matters of wisdom fertilizes the intellect. So it sows seeds of in the intellect, which then blossom and then grow. And he also said the following. He stated three things which can help perfect the intellect. He said, the perfection of the intellect lies in three things. The first is humility before Allah, being humble before Allah. Second is having a strong conviction, being convinced and having a strong conviction, obviously about matters of religion. And finally, the Imam said, and silence, except when speaking good. Silence and being silent, right, is good and it helps in the increase of the intellect, except when you're speaking about something good and, you know, like for example, you're doing Amr bil Ma'ruf, enjoining the good or forbidding the evil. وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Right, these are all things that can help in the increase in the intellect. And finally, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he once reminded Muawiyah of the use of his intellect and said, the intellect is only perfected through following the truth, meaning following the truth, acting upon its dictates and accepting it. These are what help the intellect blossom and become perfected. And in reply to this, it's interesting that Muawiyah said, there's only one thing in your chest, meaning allusion to the fact that you only think about one thing, and that is the truth. You attribute everything, the goodness and the perfection of everything, to the truth. These are all things that can help us in a blossoming of the intellect. And obviously, when our intellect blossoms and grows, you know, it also leads to us worshiping God more and also getting more reward in the hereafter. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the things that help in the increase of the intellect. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.